Amen, amen, amen. So you already had James chapter 1 there. You already had that. I just sang my sermon to you. So if you don't get anything else, we just sang the word. Amen. Is that okay? We sang the word, and I've been talking to you for the previous sessions that I've had, been privileged to be able to be here with you. We've talked about now abideth faith, hope, and love. Everybody remember that? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Do we need to look at it, or you can quote it back to me? Now abideth, now remains, faith, hope, and love. One more time. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And we also quoted, and we've looked at it many times, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, where it says, faith working through love. One of the translations says, all that really matters is that we live a life of faith in love for God and for each other. One more time. All that really matters is that we live a life of faith in love towards God and towards each other. And so we've talked about love and we've talked about hope. And I want to just go, we've been going in reverse order from 1 Corinthians 13, 13. And so we did now about his faith, hope, and love. And we did love. We talked on that. We spent some time on love. Then we talked about hope. And how many of you glad that we have a biblical hope? Come on, we have an eternal hope. If you have no other hope in life, you have that hope of the resurrected body, the glorified body, spending time to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. You have a hope and a future. Come on, everybody say, I have a hope and a future. And a future. So yes, we pray. We grieve with the Christians that are being martyred around the planet in the different countries. We also understand that they are receiving their reward. They're receiving it early. Come on. I don't want to receive mine early. How about you?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm planning on staying here, but if the Lord hasn't called me to be a martyr, but if he did, then we would receive it with joy. Come on. Paul said, it's much, much better for me that I die and go be with the Lord. How can you say that? You're only 60-something, and now that I've hit the big 6-0, that's pretty close to home. Isn't it a scary thing when you hit 50 and all of a sudden you realize you're closer to the 80-year-olds than you are? Anyway. To some of the youngsters, right? Come, it's a wake-up call, right? And Paul says, it's much better for me to leave and go be with the Lord, but for your sake, I'm going to stay here a while longer. Do we really, in the Western world, in Western Christianity, do we truly, truly believe that to be absent from this tent, if I take my coat off and I throw it over there, I'm still me? How many of you know that that was just a material that was on me? How many of you understand this body is just the material that houses our spirit? Our spirit and soul are eternal. They're going to go to heaven. Come on, they're going to be in the presence of the Lord Almighty. And so, yes, we grieve, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope. Because we have this hope that we'll be restored into relationship with those who have died and gone on before us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Almost got you trained to say amens. Amen. What's amen mean? So be it. I agree. Let it be so, Lord. Come on, that's what you're saying. I agree. Let it be so. Okay, you've got a Bible, hopefully. Notice my pun there. I put hopefully. Anyway, thank you, Gabe. He's the only one that got it. Romans chapter 10. And, you know, the sister asked me this morning, what's the title of the message? And I joked and said the Bible, and because that pretty much covers everything, right? You know. But I believe it's, we're going to talk a little bit here, a few moments about biblical hope, because we have talked on love and on hope, and now we're going to talk about biblical faith. Excuse me. We want to talk about biblical faith this morning. And I want to just say, faith is in the goodness of God and His reliability, His dependability. It's faith in a person. So, there's been a lot of teaching in the last 40 years, and I benefited from that, and I'm glad. I came out of my denominational bias and said, God wants you to be poor and humble. Now, we still need to be humble. Do you understand? There was this religious spirit that said, God wants you to keep you poor so that you'll be dependent upon Him. And I was in that ditch, and praise God for faith teaching, because that pulled me out of that ditch. But you know what happens? If you're not careful, you get over in the other ditch. Now God's only for my good, which He is, according to the Scriptures, but now God only wants my best, which He does, but we take it to an extreme. And that means He wants me to have 3 Cadillacs, come on, 2 houses, and a speedboat. See, so we've gone to the, people have gone to the other extreme of faith. No, I'm thankful for faith. Faith taught me that I didn't have to be broken poor my whole life. Faith taught me that I didn't have to be sick and depressed my whole life. Come on. And you know what? Faith, so we've had principles of faith, and we've taught about faith, and faith is good to study. It's one of the foundational doctrines. Right? And now abides faith, hope, and love. And you notice how it says that there in 1 Corinthians 13:13? Now remains faith, hope, and love. Other things have passed away. Where there's tongues, they'll pass away. Where there's prophecies, they'll pass away. Come on. Where there's anything else here in this temporal realm, it's going to pass away. The three things that are going to remain eternally are faith, having hope for a future, and love, the love of God. So years ago, probably in my late 20s, I began to get a revelation. You probably got it quicker than me, but I began to get a revelation that faith was not a bunch of principles, although we can teach it that way, but faith was relationship with a living God. There's many different aspects of faith. There's many different types or kinds of faith that we can talk about. Saving faith. We can talk about the measure of faith. It's granted to every man and woman the measure of faith whereby you can be saved, right? How many of you got saved on your own? No, it took the Holy Spirit to woo you into the kingdom, to draw you into the kingdom. And even getting saved, God had to give you the faith for that. Everybody understand? So there's a measure of faith. There's strong faith. There's weak faith. There's unbelief. There's all different types of faith that we could teach on. But what I'm talking about this morning here for a few moments is faith, really, if you boil it down to the crux, the bottom thing, the foundation of it is, faith is really relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on. I delivered unto you, Paul says, I delivered unto you the faith. What faith is he talking about? Faith for cars, faith for money, faith for houses. Faith for healing? No, the faith. What is the faith, Paul, that you delivered unto us? He delivered unto us that faith where we could be saved and we are restored into relationship with the Heavenly Father. You know, if you get to know me, I get to know you. After a certain amount of time, you can begin to trust my word because we've spent time together. And you know, if I say that I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Now, I might be 15 minutes late, but I'll usually call you. All right, but you know you can trust me. If I said I'm going to do it unless something happens, like the roads are all torn up coming around down to Elkhart, you know, if I set a time, I'll be there, right? We understand. Because you've gotten to know me, know my heart, and know that you can trust my word. Because my word is my bond. If we will spend time with God, faith is not a major challenge. Because you get to know the author of the book. And we taught on this when we taught on the Word, the Spirit, and the name, remember? And we taught on the author of the book. And so if we spend time with Him, then we get to believe Him. And we begin to believe what He has said to us. And because we believe what He has said to us, we begin to act on what He has said to us. Do you understand? Faith is not this big convoluted 10 steps and plus this. Now, being a teacher motive, which you can't usually tell here, but being a teacher motive, I like to tear everything down and apart. And you know, we teach on the nine gifts of the Spirit, the nine fruit of the Spirit, and all this, and that's wonderful. But they don't just operate, quote, operate individually. They're usually meshed together. We've put them in these categories to help our minds better understand. We've done the same thing with faith. Okay, but I want to talk here about biblical faith this morning. You guys have Romans chapter 10? Yeah? Okay. Romans chapter 10, familiar territory here. I'm just going to preach, exhort us a little bit here this morning, because I've already given you through this, the sermon through the song. Romans chapter 10, and let's look down to verse 17. So, now let's just stop right there. So reminds me of a word, therefore. So what should you do when you see the word therefore? Find out what it's there for. What came before it? What preceded it? Same thing with so. What came before it? Isaiah said, verse 16, Lord, who has believed our report? So, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by seeing. Faith comes by reading. No, faith comes by hearing. Now, it's good to see the word. That's why I have a hard copy. I mean, I used to teach elementary, or not, well, I did very briefly elementary, but middle school, which the teachers at the high school thought I was crazy to work with the squirrels in the middle school. But I loved them because, you know, most of them weren't bad on life already. You get to high school, you're looking at 45-year-olds in 17-year-old bodies. You know, they've already had a bunch of junk happen to them in life. But at middle school, you could still find that kid who wanted to come to school because they enjoyed life. And they wanted to see their friends and they wanted to learn something. Anyway, I digress. You learn when you're teaching to get the students to write something out, to read it out loud, to see it, and to hear it. You will retain much more if you'll do those four things. I'm trying to think of who the guy was. I think his name was Holy Hubert in the 60s and 70s, and he was a preacher. I heard a rumor he'd been on Little Rascals, but I'm not quite sure about that. But anyway, he used to preach like to the Hell's Angels and during the Jesus People outpouring in the 70s. And the story goes that he got beaten up so many times by the Hell's Angels that he lost his sight completely. He'd been beat up preaching on Jesus on the street corners and preaching to them. But fortunately, before that had happened, he'd memorized the New Testament. You know how he memorized the New Testament? He would take a passage and he would write it out in four different colors of ink. Try this sometime. Just take a paragraph you want to memorize in the Bible. You write it down on paper in four different colors of ink, you'll have it memorized for life. And he memorized the New Testament, so he was still able to just keep on preaching. Keep on preaching. We need to use all our senses, but faith comes by hearing. In the Greek word, my understanding there is hearing and hearing and hearing and then hearing again. It's a continuous hearing. It's not like I heard it. Well, I heard that message one time before. I heard a preacher preach on faith. It never worked for me. Guess what? You didn't get it. Come on, you didn't understand it. Did you get saved the first time you heard the gospel? Maybe. Most people know. You have to get a seed planted. Somebody else has to come along and water it. And God is the one who gives the increase, the harvest. It's the same thing with the word. You might not have got it the first time. But faith comes by hearing. Why am I belaboring this? Too many Christians don't read their Bible, and if they do read their Bible, they don't read it out loud. Do you know you don't have to wait for faith to come from hearing me quote the word? You can quote the word, and faith will come. Yeah. I want you to notice this here, this verse here. I just belabored this here. I heard it from Derek Prince one time. He said, I didn't have faith, and I was giving up until I read this verse where it says, faith cometh by hearing. Guess what? Faith is coming. By the hearing. I don't have enough faith. Well, guess what? You can get it. Yes. Faith will come by the hearing of the word. And that word there, I believe, is rhema, isn't it? The word there is talking about the anointed, spoken, empowered word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And we talked about this before. Every one of us has time at least to listen to the word being read to us. If you're on your way to work, you can put it on your app, on your phone, or whatever, and listen to the scriptures for that day coming to you if you're going through the Bible. But it's good. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing the word. Not hearing the circumstance. Come on. Not hearing the problem. But faith comes by hearing the answer, which is the word. The Word is our source and our focus. The Word, Jesus, is our source and our focus. It's essential. Faith is essential. We need to have, there's no substitute for faith, and we're going to get into this here in a second. So, look over to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm just rehearsing some scriptures that many of you already know. You might see them through a little different light this morning because, all of a sudden, this might be the watering that triggers something, the seed that's been planted on the inside of you, and it might come alive. So over in Hebrews chapter 11, and this is probably, thinking in my mind, you can help me out, pastors, but this is probably the only place I can think of in the New Testament, at least, where the Scripture defines a word in the Scripture. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is. What is faith? He's going to tell us. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, men of old gained approval. So let's just stop right there. It's defined in the Scriptures. What is faith? Now, faith is the substance, the material, if you want to say it that way. And I don't like that because then people started teaching it like it's metaphysical. Like I developed my faith and here's my faith. And I throw my faith at the problem. No. What's the root here again about faith? Faith is relationship with God. It's not a thing. Faith is actually a verb. Now faith is the assurance. Everybody say assurance. You know, if you read it in the Amplified, it's the title deed and it gives a whole bunch of different meanings for it. But faith is the assurance. It's the substance of the things that are hoped for. And we taught on hope. What is hope? Hope is the expectation of future
things to come.
But what kind? Bad? Horrible? No, faith is the expectation of future good. Remember? Wow. Now I'm going to get bummed if I let myself. They've already forgotten I just taught on hope. Wasn't that last week? Come on. Hope is that expectation for future good. We have this hope. Expectation for future good. Future good. Look what it says here. Now faith is the assurance or the substance of things that are hoped for. The expectation of future good. Can you have hope really without faith? No, not according to this, because faith is what undergirds or gives the stability for the things that you're hoping for in the future. All right, we don't have time to develop a lot of that today, but I'm just going to hit some points here on this real quick. Give you some differences between, we taught on hope before, give you some quick differences. Is hope the present or hope the future? Future. So faith would be the present or the future? Now faith is, and I know that's in our English translations, but it's also true. Now faith is. So it's now. Everybody say now. Now faith is. It's the here and now. Hope is the future. Faith is now. Now let me just give us some understanding here. Faith is of the heart. Hope is of the mind realm. This will help us a little bit here. Faith is of the heart. Hope is of the mind. Now, of course, they mesh together. They work together. And, of course, faith only works through love, right? Faith, now by faith, worketh through love. So you have to have love. They all come together. But breaking them apart here to understand the main differences between them. Faith is the now. Hope is the future. Faith gives the base or the foundation of the hope for the future. Faith is of the heart because we believe. Hope is of the future. And it's our mind. You're right there, and you were in Hebrews. Hold your place in Hebrews, but I want to go back to Romans for a second. Should have had you look at it earlier. But Romans 10:10. Romans 10:10 says this. For with the heart... Well, we better get back and get some context. Okay, let's go back to verse 8. But what does it say? The word of is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. Oh, my goodness. Look at that. The word is in your mouth and in your heart. Faith comes by hearing. How do you hear? Got to speak. All right? Faith comes by hearing, and this says right here in verse 8, but the word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, let me say heart, with the heart, and the word heart there means with your spirit man, right? We understand that the heart really is representing the innermost being of us, the spirit, the part that's eternal, that goes and lives forever. For with the heart, a person does what? Believes. Well, you know the word belief is another word for faith. Yeah? Faith, faithfulness, loyalty, come on, belief. They're all around the same Greek word, pistis. I said it wrong, probably. But it says right here, the word of faith, which we're preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, has faith, relationship with Jesus. Hello? Remember? Anytime I'm saying the word faith, you could try and substitute relationship with Jesus in that phrase. Just to get that understanding that if we have relationship with His Word, we have relationship with Jesus, the Word. Faith is coming. Faith is there. Okay. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Confess and believe. We confess with our lips, believing in our heart that what? God raised Jesus from the dead, right? And what's the Scripture say? If you will do that. If you will confess with your mouth, believe in your heart what that Jesus came and died for you. Everybody say, for me. He came and died for me. He took my sin and he exchanged and he gives us his righteousness. He came and he died for me, right? Then I shall be saved. Believing or faith is a verb of motion. It's not static. It's not enough to study about faith. It's not enough to just read the Bible. It's not enough to... You know, there are lots of theologians, well, I don't say lots, but there used to be lots of theologians who knew all sorts of things about the Bible and about the Word. The problem was they didn't know the Word. They didn't have personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. How can you expect to understand this book if you don't know the author of the book? Okay. Believing is a verb. It's not static. You don't get faith just by sitting and doing nothing. Believing is a verb of motion. I want to just talk about that one more second, but turn over to Philippians or 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to give you a little word study here this morning. It is still morning, isn't it? Yeah, for another 2 minutes. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if the preacher could find it here. It's in this Bible, I'm sure. There it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's look down here to verse 8. But since we are of the day, how many of you are new nature people? You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are of the day, not of the night. Okay? But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on, what's it say here? Look in verse 8. The breastplate of faith and love. Notice how they mesh together, they go together. And as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So, beautiful picture here. You know, Paul's talked about the armor of God that we, over in the Bible, right? In the New Testament. I'm putting the preachers on the spot because my brain's not fired. Ephesians 6, right? We put on the armor of God, right? And so what are the two things that he's talking about right here as far as the armor? He says you need to do what? Put on the breastplate of faith and love, righteousness. His righteousness comes to us through faith and his love. And what does the breastplate protect? Our heart. And then he says, but also put on the helmet of salvation, which is for our what? The hope of salvation. We put on the helmet which covers our what? Our mind, our will, our emotions. We have to have hope for the future, right? Those of you who counsel, you understand that one of the hardest things is to get people to see beyond themselves and get a hope for the future. Beyond the situations that they're in right now, beyond their upbringing, beyond, you know, whatever, to see hope for the future, that they can change. Amen. So breastplate is the heart. Over the heart, it's faith and love. The helmet is over our head, it's the hope. So this is a thing that I've struggled with through the years, and that is to understand that true Christians, and I don't want to say true, maturing Christians are eternal optimists. Now by nature, I'm a pessimist. If you show me a glass, I'll say it's half empty. Other people will say it. How many of you are half full people? Wave at me. Okay. These guys, they got it easy. They grew up optimist. The glass is half full. Woohoo! And I'm like, no, it isn't. It's already been drunk. It's halfway down. It's half empty. Right? See, that's the pessimistic view. Not that it's going to be refilled and overflowing, but the fact that it's right now, that's reality, brother. It's half empty. No, it's also half full. Do you understand? We have to retrain our minds to go from pessimist into optimist because we have a hope. And you know the old phrase, hope springs eternal, right? It rises up. It's for the future. Something for the future. Okay, so anyway. We should be, of all people on the planet, who was it? Demon Shakarian, the happiest people on the planet are the Christians. Come on, we should be happy. Not happy with circumstances that are going around. Not happy when our brothers and sisters are being martyred. No, not happy about that. But in all things, I have learned that I am more than a conqueror because of His love for me, in me, and through me. And if my life ends today, I receive my crown of reward. I go to be with Jesus. Hope, again, a confident expectation of future good. Hope is based on the Word. Faith is from the Word. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we live by faith and not by sight. Do you remember when Jesus was talking to Martha? And you know, Lazarus has died, and he says, if you will believe, Martha, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. And what'd she do? She didn't have faith for that moment. She pushed it off to the future. Yeah, Lord, I know we'll all be raised in the resurrection. But he was saying to her, if you will believe, have faith in me right now at this very moment, you will see in front of you right now the glory of God. Lazarus, come forth. All right, I told you to go back to Hebrews, didn't I? We walk by faith and not by sight. So closing out here, back in Hebrews, and I've just started to scratch the surface. But how many of you maybe at least got something new this morning to understand that faith is relationship with Jesus? Faith is relationship with Jesus, not just a list of principles. You can have all the dogma, doctrine down together, and we call that religion. You know, there's dead faith. James said, you say you have faith? Oh, you faith people, you say you have faith? Prove it by your corresponding actions, which we call works. Come on. You say you have faith, and you prove it by your actions. How do we prove it by our actions? We're not doing it to earn salvation, but because we are saved, our actions have changed. Amen? So you're back in Hebrews again. Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Well, we better, you're there in Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Better give you a couple scriptures in Hebrews before we go here. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have, and again, therefore means you guys need to go back and homework and look at the what's there before this, right? Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, as we are yet without sin. As we are yet without sin, Jesus talking about him. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence. What's another word for confidence? Faith. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Everything in this life is by the grace of God, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And you did good on it, brother. It's charis, charisma, from charisma, and it just means that a divine enablement to accomplish what you're called to do in that moment. That's what grace is. It's not just a mercy thing. It's not just a forgiveness of sins. Grace is divine enablement of the Holy Spirit for that moment. Come on. To enable you to accomplish what God's called you to do. But look at what it says here again. Verse 4:14. Look at what it says. Draw near with confidence. Let me say confidence. Confidence. That we draw near with confidence. Let us hold fast. Look at verse 14. You know, when you read some of these verses, you need to understand, they're kind of a little sneaky at times. Because look what it says. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, and we go, woohoo! We know who our Savior is. Come on. He's the great high priest. And then we kind of just read over the rest part. Let us hold fast our confession. Hold fast your confession. That means like it, somebody's going to try and cause you to lose that confession. Do you understand? We have to will to hold fast our confession of faith. We have to choose to hold fast. Anybody ever been tried before? You know, the enemy comes and tries you to get you to release your confession of faith, to get you into doubt and unbelief and despair and despondency. Come on, if we had time, we'd go back and look in Genesis. The devil hasn't changed one iota. He's always been this way. He comes to Eve, and the first thing he causes her to do is what? Doubt. Get into disbelief. If you get into, you entertain doubt, you stay in the land of doubt too long, you'll move into disbelief. And from disbelief, you'll move into disobedience. Hang on to your confession. And it means, confession can mean several things. It can mean your lifestyle. Amen. If you confess Jesus as Lord, doesn't mean I just went to the prayer one time, snotted to the altar because the evangelist really moved me to tears, prayed a prayer because they said I'd be saved if I prayed that prayer. No, the confession means now you live differently because now something took place on the inside and salvation's working from the inside out. Your confession. But this tells me that our confession is going to be tested. This tells me that we're going to be tried. Even though he's done it all for us, we still have to walk it out. Jesus has won the war. But we at times still have battles that we have to depend on him to get through. But the end is already established. Everybody understand? We're on the winning side. We are still the victors in life. In Christ Jesus. Sometimes we need to realize that we will be tested. Everybody say will be. I don't like that. I don't want to be tested. How about you? Anybody wake up this morning saying, oh, let me be tested. But we know, as I sang about it a little bit, the trying of our faith works patience. As I was hearing that song as I'm driving to the building this morning and I'm stuck in traffic. And the guy whips out in front of me on those single lane highways with the smelliest semi truck. I don't know what he was hauling. And I'm like, I gotta hurry. I'm already running late because of this detour and that detour. And the trying of your faith will work patience. No, I don't want to hear that. Come on, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to be obligated to practice what I preach. Come on. Our faith will be tested. And he tells us, hold fast. In fact, in chapter 10, you're right there, we'll work our way back to close on 11. But in chapter 10, verse 21, we're still in Hebrews. Chapter 10, 21 says, and since we have a great high priest, come on, that's Jesus, just worship him a second. We have the great high priest over the house of God. You know, his blood ever speaks. He's in heaven before the throne of God, before the throne of grace. And you and I, anything we ever did in our past or were stupid enough to do in our future, and even now, the blood of Jesus is covering that up and removing the pain and the shame of that. And the Father can look at us through the blood of Jesus Christ and have love towards us because of the sacrifice, because we have this great high priest. And look what it says here. Let us hold fast. Wow, this whole section is really, really good, but we're running out of time. But look what it says. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, right, for the future, without wavering. And we all know in James, I had you look at that before I sang the song, and he says, the double-minded man should not think that he's going to receive anything from the Lord because he's unstable in all his ways. Come on, we don't want to be double-minded. We don't want to be wavering in our faith. And how do we not waver in our faith? We focused on our high priest, whoever lives to make intercession for me and for you. Everybody else has given up on you, it seems to you. That's what the devil says. But there's one who hasn't. His name is Jesus. He never will give up on you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you until the end. So even if you feel as if everyone else has given up on you, there's one who has not, our high priest. Faith will be tested. In Ephesians, there's one of those scriptures I really don't like where it talks about the trying of your faith will be tried like fire. And we understand that in the Old Testament, the image and the illustration that we have is of the purifier where they take gold or silver and they put it in a vessel and they heat that vessel seven times, it tells us in Proverbs. Seven times. Heating. What happens when you heat a metal? They pull it out of the ground or they pull it out of the mountain and they put it and they start to heat it. What happens to that metal? It melts, it becomes a liquid, and as you continue to heat it, impurities rise to the top. The pure gold or silver is heavier and it drops to the bottom. Other metals, dirt, whatever the thing, it rises to the top and it's skimmed off. And you skim it off and that gold or that silver goes, woohoo, glad that's over, it's time to get in the air conditioning. No, what happens? He heats it up again. Because there's different levels of purity for gold. 24 karat, I don't know what any of that means. All I know is it means it's more pure, right? Okay. And it's purified over and over and over. And what purified it was the fire. Now our trials, think it not strange, my brothers and sisters, when you fall into fiery temptations. But don't say you're tempted of the Lord. Come on, this is just life. We have opportunities to sin, fall on our face every single day. It's up to us to choose not to embrace those opportunities, and we do that by focusing on Him. But understand, and we've done this when we've gone through 2 Peter chapter 1 too, and we've looked in James, there's that process that seems to happen. The trying of your faith works this, works this, works this, right? Count it all joy. Count it all joy. And look what it says here. Let us draw near, verse 22 again, chapter 10. Let us draw near with a sincere heart. Come on, a true heart. We're drawing near to Him, drawing near to Him. In full assurance of faith. Whose faith? His faith. We could translate that, we could substitute that word faith there and say in full assurance of His faithfulness towards us. Do you understand? It's not our faith, like a Kleenex box I threw across there, my faith. It's us having trust in His faithfulness towards us. He gave us the faith to be saved. He gives us the faith to grow and mature. He gives us the faith to believe for the things that we need in our life. And then Hebrews 11, 1, one more time. Now faith is the substance of things, or the assurance of things that are hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. I didn't have time to develop this whole thing. But you know, there's scriptures that talk about the seen and the unseen realm. See, when you came into the kingdom of Christ, a whole new world opened up to you. It was always there. This was the realm of the eternal and the invisible. And when you became a Christian, you stepped into that realm of the eternal and the invisible. And we see, when we say we're seen with the eye of faith, what are we saying? I'm seeing into the realm of the invisible of what God has already done for me. He has already healed me. I love the visions about these people who go to heaven. I've never had one of those. But I did hear a prophet one time say, well, that's probably because you're not as stubborn as me. So God didn't have to speak to you audibly or pull you up to heaven and discipline you. So I received that. But anyway, these people who have these visions, they go to heaven and they see, you hear these stories before? They've died, they come back to life, and they saw a big warehouse. Anybody remember this story? And they have a warehouse, and they go and walk into the warehouse, and what's in there? There's body parts. Thousands of legs, arms, hearts, kidneys. Come on, livers. Whatever your body needs. And the angel, I remember one story, the angel said to the person who had died and gone up to heaven and then saw this, the angel said, it's a sad thing that most of these parts are unclaimed. Because every part had our names on them. But they were unclaimed. Because I'll believe it when I see it. Well, that's not faith. Faith is you believe it because He said it, then you will see it. Remember? We believe in Jesus Christ, then we confess our salvation. That's a principle all throughout the Scriptures, and we don't have time to develop all that today. But I just wanted to remind us of this, that we are walking in another realm. And because of, and on the basis of faith, using my definition today, relationship with Jesus in His faithfulness towards us, because of that, we can have a hope for the future. It's not based on what we see. It's based on what we believe. And we believe in that which we can't see. Can you see Jesus right now? In a physical body right here? Do we see Him? No, probably not. But you know what? We can see a semblance of Him when we look at each other because we are the body of Christ. But how do you believe in a God in whom you don't know? Or you haven't touched? Or you haven't seen? You do it by faith in what He's done for us. And you spend time in relationship with Him. I just want to pray right now. Lord, anyone who's hearing my voice right now who doesn't know You as their personal Lord and Savior, they've not come into this intimate relationship with You. And it's all about relationship and not religion. And not a bunch of rules and laws. That didn't work in the Old Covenant. They needed a Savior, and we have a Savior. So Lord, right now I pray anyone who's hearing my voice would come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and they would know that what we're talking about is a relationship with a living being, Jesus, God. Lord, we pray right now that their eyes would be open, that their hearts would be softened, that the water of the Word would arrest them right now, that they would come into this saving knowledge by saying, Jesus, I ask You into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I believe that You were raised from the dead. And I call upon Your name, and I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that You are God, and therefore I am saved. So Lord, we thank You that that principle is also true for those of us that are here in this building right now, that we confess with our mouth, You are our healer. We believe in our heart, You have healed us. and we are healed and delivered. Let me say just one thing here. Let me interrupt in that prayer real quick. Paul Yonggi Cho, pastor of the world's largest church over in South Korea. I heard him in the 80s. And one of the things he said is, you people in America, I'm not going to attempt a Korean accent, but he goes, you people in America, you think you understand faith? He says, you think that if you just say something long enough, it'll happen. He said, no, you have it backwards. You first must become pregnant with the word. You have to become pregnant with the word. In other words, and he developed that, and he said, you spend time in prayer, you spend time reading and studying and confessing the word of God, faith arises in your heart. Then you speak it, and the manifestation happens. We think that by our much speech, and there is a truth to that. If you keep telling a child they're stupid, and they start walking around saying, I'm stupid, what are they going to do? They're going to act stupid. But if you tell them, you're the smartest kid on the planet, come on, you get them to have a hope, right? There is a power in confession. And most of us experience the negative aspect of it, right? We must become pregnant with the word through prayer and study and confession of the word. And then faith rises up on the inside. And then we speak because we now believe it's an accomplished fact now. Everybody understand? All right. Is that all right? Amen. Now by this faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. But that doesn't mean that we don't need to understand hope and we don't need to understand faith, because the just shall live by faith. We are saved by faith and grace, right? We're saved by faith in the grace of Jesus Christ, not of our works that any man or woman should boast.